All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the BCE to Privatize Fayetteville Alliance Analyst Presentation. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Thane Fotopoulos. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the joint BCE Bell Alliance Analyst Conference Call. As you know, this morning we did announce that BCE will be privatizing its affiliate Bell Alliance, and the purpose of today's call is to provide you with some additional background and perspective on that transaction. With me on the call today are George Cope, President and CEO of BCE, Karen Sheriff, President and CEO of Bell Alliance, and Siim Vanaselja, BCE's CFO. George, Karen, and Siim have a few prepared remarks for you, after which we'll jump into the Q&A portion of the call. However, before we begin, I need to call your attention to our Safe Harbor Notice, reminding all listeners that today's presentation and remarks by George, Karen, and Siim will contain certain forward-looking statements with respect to such items such as the proposed privatization of Bell Alliance and the related synergies and other financial benefits expected to result. Several assumptions were made by us in preparing those forward-looking statements, and there are risks that actual results will differ materially from those contemplated by our forward-looking statements. For additional information on such risks and assumptions, please consult the BCE Bell Alliance joint press release dated July 23, 2014, announcing this proposed privatization, as well as BCE's and Bell Alliance 2013 annual MD&As as updated in their respective Q1 MD&As announcing financial results for the first quarter of 2014, all of which are filed with the Canadian Securities Commissions and with the SEC, and which are also available on both companies' websites. These forward-looking statements represent BCE's and Bell Alliance expectations as of today and accordingly are subject to change after such time. Except as may be required by Canadian securities laws, we do not undertake any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. And I'm making this cautionary statement on behalf of George, Karen, and Siim, whose remarks today will contain forward-looking statements. So with that, I'll turn it over to George.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Let me begin with a brief transaction overview, which is on page 4 of the investor presentation. I am pleased to announce that BCE, which already controls Bell Alliance, will be privatizing Bell Alliance by acquiring the interest of its public minority shareholders for $31 a share. Importantly, the transaction has been recommended unanimously by the Independent Committee of Bell Alliance Board of Directors. The implied transaction value of 8.3 times EBITDA recognizes the excellent fiber investment position and wireline margin management of Bell Alliance. This transaction is expected to be immediately accretive to EPS and free cash flow for BCE shareholders, with approximately $200 million expected in annual run rate free cash flow accretion after dividends. The privatization of Bell Alliance dramatically simplifies BCE's corporate and operating structure, eliminating the requirement for two duplicate public companies and the costs associated with operating those companies. This will enable optimization of capital allocations and free up resources to be invested in broadband services across Canada. The acquisition today of the minority interest is consistent with our long-standing capital market strategy of a dividend growth model while maintaining a strong investment credit grade rating. CRTC and Industry Canada approvals are not required because there is no change in control of Bell Alliance and no transfers of wireless spectrum licenses. We expect the transaction to close by November 30, 2014. Turning to slide 5, the transaction supports a number of Bell's strategic imperatives, the most important of those being it enhances our position to continue to invest in broadband networks and services across the country. The free cash flow accretion from this transaction will enable us to accelerate our investments throughout the country, enabling, amongst other investments, our announcement today of $2.1 billion capital program in Atlantic Canada over the next 5 years. The ability now to efficiently allocate our capital across only one company is a significant productivity-enhancing element of this transaction. The best example I could give you this morning is we no longer will be required to invest in two different billing platforms and instead can reallocate that saved capital in broadband services for consumers and business. As a result of this transaction, over 70% of our total households will have access to fiber-based broadband services, while increasing as well the number of IPTV-ready homes by 1 million to 6 million by the end of 2014. We now expect to surpass 7 million premises when we finish the build-out of IPTV as a result of today's announcement. Bell's fiber footprint will grow from 1 to 2 million homes at closing, which means over 33% of our IPTV households will have fiber to the home services. This number will continue to accelerate as a result of today's transaction. The privatization of Bell Alliant will eliminate the duplicate public company costs and is expected to drive CapEx and operating synergies of approximately $100 million. Turning to slide six, the transaction today results in our revenue mix of growth services to be just over 80% of total revenue. Although we increase the proportion of wireline voice slightly, the rate of NAS decline for the company overall will improve because Bell Alliance consumer NAS decline rate is approximately 66% of that of Bell Canada's, given Bell Alliance extensive fiber footprint and unique rural operations. Slide 7. BCE and Bell Alliance have a long history in Atlantic Canada. We plan to continue to build on that history today. Today we are announcing a commitment of $2.1 billion in capital expenditures to the four Atlantic provinces over the next 5 years for investment in broadband wireless and wireline services. BCE will continue to operate the regional headquarters for Bell Alliance in Halifax, as well as will continue to operate Bell Alliance brand in Atlantic Canada. We will also complete the fiber rollout to the 1 million homes that Bell Alliance has planned for. Furthermore, today we announced the rollout of our world-leading LTE wireless networks to more than 100 additional communities in Atlantic Canada to be completed by year-end 2015. To further underpin our commitment to Atlantic Canada, today we also announced the acquisition of two call centers in the region, which will serve Bell customers, adding an additional 700 jobs to Bell Canada's employment in Atlantic Canada. Finally, the regional telecom operations in rural Ontario and rural Quebec, operated by Bell Alliant, will continue to benefit from broadband investments by Bell Canada. As you can see, BCE is 100% committed to maintaining a strong and local presence and significant investment in the Bell Alliant territories. Now I'm pleased to turn the presentation over to Karen Sheriff, the CEO of Bell Alliant. Karen, over to you.
Thank you, George, and good morning, everybody. As you have all heard, the special committee of the board of Bell Alliant has made a decision to recommend this transaction. While I was not on that committee, they have asked me to participate in the call today on their behalf. And personally, I certainly support the recommendation along with the rest of the board. A special committee of independent directors of Bell Alliant has conducted a thorough review of the offer and has unanimously concluded that the transaction provides attractive value to Bell Alliant public minority shareholders. The independent members of the board of directors unanimously resolved to recommend that the public minority shareholders accept the offer, and the circular will provide more detail in that process. I'm extremely proud of what the team of Bell Alliant has accomplished over the last several years. Solid execution has positioned Bell Alliant to deliver even more value to our customers and shareholders through this transaction. As a result of the privatization, Bell Alliant will be able to combine its product and service strength and cost management discipline with the world-class communications networks and operations of Bell Canada, delivering even more value to our customers. Furthermore, Bell Alliance's heritage of delivering value to its customers through technological innovation and strong local presence will be further strengthened by the full backing of BCE. This support will ensure that Bell Alliance maintains its leadership position as the leading customer-focused communication service provider in the markets we serve. This transaction really is a next logical step for Bell Alliance. This transaction is attractive for our shareholders and creates immediate value for them with an offer price at approximately 11.6% premium to Bell Alliance weighted average closing share price on the TSX for the 20-day period ending July 22nd of 2014, and it is also at the high end of the valuation range. This is a good time for this transaction as it crystallizes this value for our shareholders and provides the potential opportunity for a tax-free rollover election for Canadian resident common shareholders into BCE stock. Importantly, the transaction gives Bell Alliance public minority shareholders the opportunity to acquire ownership in BCE, a company with a strong asset mix, a history of strong dividend growth, and an attractive investment-grade credit profile providing growth opportunities for public minority shareholders. Now, having been part of the BCE family for years, the Bell Alliance team has worked closely with our colleagues at Bell for many years and look forward to continuing to provide value for customers and shareholders. And with that, I will pass it over to Sean.
Thanks, Karen, and good morning to everyone on the call. The privatization of Bell Alliance that we're initiating will be undertaken by way of a formal tender offer to buy all of Bell Alliance public minority common shares in a stock and cash transaction for a total value of $3.95 billion. That represents about a $410 million total premium to Bell Alliance 20-day weighted average share price as of yesterday's market close. The transaction represents a valuation multiple of 8.3 times trailing 12-month EBITDA. And as Karen said, our offer of $31 is being recommended unanimously to shareholders by the Special Committee of Independent Bell Alliance Board Directors, and it's also supported by Bell Alliance independent bankers who have determined the fair market value for Bell Line common shares to be in the range of $27 to $31.50 per share. The transaction consideration paid by BCE will consist of 25% in cash and 75% in BCE common equity. Bell Alliance common shareholders will have the option to elect to receive either $31 in cash, 0.6371 of a BCE common share, or $7.75 in cash, together with 0.4778 of a BCE common share. And shareholders electing either of those first two alternatives will be subject to proration such that the aggregate transaction consideration paid will be 25% in cash and 75% in BCE common shares. On completion of the transaction, Bell Alliance shareholders will own an approximate 7% pro forma common equity interest in BCE. The regular quarterly dividend that would have been payable by Bell Alliance to Bell Alliance common shareholders on October 6th will not be declared by the Bell Alliance board. Closing of the transaction is subject to more than 50% of Bell Alliance common shares held by minority shareholders tendering into the offer, as well as notification under the Competition Act. The tender offer is expected to commence mid-August and be completed in the latter part of September. Finally, concurrent with this tender offer for Bell Alliance common shares, BCE will also offer Bell Alliance preferred shareholders the opportunity to exchange their Bell Alliance preferred shares for BCE preferred shares on equivalent financial terms. The completion of the privatization transaction, however, is not conditional on the preferred share exchange. I will also add that all of Bell Alliance long-term debt will continue to remain outstanding at the transaction close. Now, if you turn to slide 12, you'll see that we've structured the acquisition financing with a balanced mix of cash and BCE common equity consistent with our long-term capital structure objectives. The cash component of the consideration, totaling approximately $1 billion, will be funded by cash and available liquidity sources, and we will arrange permanent financing in the long-term debt markets in due course. The BCE share consideration portion of the transaction, representing an aggregate value of just under $3 billion, will result in the issuance of approximately 61 million new BCE common shares. Moving to slide 14, the financing structure for this transaction continues to maintain a very high level of balance sheet strength, financial flexibility, and investment-grade credit metrics. On a pro forma basis, with the transaction, Bell's net leverage ratio will increase from 2.35 times EBITDA to approximately 2.55 times EBITDA. That leverage ratio reflects the financing of a number of strategic acquisitions that we've made over the past few years, and with this transaction, the incremental Bell Alliance debt that will be assumed. At the same time, our pension solvency deficit has been reduced very significantly due to the $2.75 billion of voluntary special funding payments that we have made. And the 700 megahertz spectrum that we acquired earlier this year was at a cost that was quite favorable to our expectations. So recognizing all of this, we are increasing today Bell Canada's net leverage ratio target slightly to 1.75 times to 2.25 times EBITDA from 1.5 to 2 times EBITDA. This is supported by BCE's improved business profile, scale, and strong free cash flow generation. We fully expect to be within our new leverage ratio target within a reasonable time frame, and we'll target to be more at the midpoint of our new range through growth in free cash flow and by applying free cash flow after dividend payments to deleveraging. On the next slide, the privatization of Bell Line gives us access to 100% of Bell Line's free cash flow. We estimate annual pre-tax synergies of approximately $100 million. The privatization of Bell Alliance will be, as George said, immediately accretive to BCE's EPS and free cash flow on a per-share basis. We project run rate annual free cash flow accretion of $350 million or $200 million in accretion after dividends to be paid on the incremental BCE common shares that we'll issue as consideration. The transaction therefore supports BCE's dividend growth model as well as significantly supporting our strategic imperatives. We expect no impact to BCE or Bell's 2014 financial guidance. I would add that with full ownership of Bell Alliance, BCE's free cash flow will include 100% of Bell Alliance free cash flow rather than just our share of its common dividend. Finally, slide 15 provides the timeline to close this transaction. We expect the tender offer bid circulars to be mailed mid-August. The common share tender process is scheduled to be completed in the second half of September, and the privatization of Bell Alliance to be completed by the end of November. So those are the key elements of today's transaction announcement. If I may reiterate what George and Karen said earlier, this is an excellent transaction that improves BCE's overall business profile and delivers attractive value to Bell Alliance and BCE shareholders alike. And with that, let's turn it back over to Thane and the operator for questions.
Thanks, Seem. So before we do begin the Q&A period, I want to ask participants to keep their questions limited to today's announcement and refrain from asking anything related to BCE's or Bell Alliance Q2 results, which will be announced in the next couple of weeks. So So, Mark, if you can now provide instructions to the participants, we're ready to open up the queue to questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. Please press star 1 at this time for any questions. You can cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. Our first question is from Maher Yaghi from Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. And I do want to mention, Karen, that it has been a great pleasure discussing BellAlliant with you and on the calls. I just wanted to ask you a question first. Why now? You know, this transaction has been discussed many times in the past, and BCE has, you know, basically said, you know, when the timing is right and when the pricing is right. But we have not seen pricing become more favorable for BCE to undertake this transaction as of late. Actually, the transaction has become less accretive after the recent decline in BCE stock. So I was wondering why the timing is now better than it was, let's say, a year ago when both stocks were trading in the same range on an EV to EBITDA basis. And the second question is, in terms of the financing, we're seeing a high usage of shares to be used to undertake this transaction as a proportion of the total consideration. Why use so much of equity instead of maybe using more debt?
Great. Thank you for the question. So why now? First of all, let me just correct. I think if you were to go back to last summer specifically you referenced, you may recall that was a rather tough time in telecom wireless-focused carriers in Canada in terms of comparison on exchange ratios. But even outside of that point, let me more seriously, why now? Really four principal reasons. This transaction is accretive for the BCE shareholders, maybe most importantly. Secondly, the consolidated voice portfolio now of BellAlliant and Bell Canada together represents just 20% of our total revenue and consumers at 10%. And that's been an important metric in my mind given the growth portfolio component of our overall operations being critical to the growth of the company. So we hit that point over the last few quarters and will on a pro forma for this year. Third, BellAlliant is getting close to completing its million home fiber build-out. And finally, wireless and wireline broadband requires more and more integration. And clearly, we've had a wireline business within BCE separate from Bell Mobility in one part of the country. And from our perspective, this was absolutely an important time to get that moving forward. Those are really the four reasons for why now. And I'll turn over to Seem on the mix of the financing. Thanks for the question.
Yes, Mayor, with regard to the mix of cash and BCE share consideration, you know, we've structured this in a balanced way and in a prudent way with the objective of maintaining the strength of our balance sheet, maintaining high levels of financial flexibility and liquidity, and strong credit metrics. With the 75% component of BCE shares in the consideration mix, as we said, the transaction is nicely accretive to EPS and free cash flow. We have spoken with each of the three rating agencies, and we expect them to be commenting on our ratings in due course, possibly as early as today.
Sorry, did you mention that it's accretive on an EPS basis?
Yes.
Okay. By how much?
Well, I don't want to get into guidance for 2015 because this transaction is going to close by the end of November. But it is accretive on an EPS per share basis, and we will reflect that in our 2015 guidance. For 2014, obviously, it's not going to be meaningful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Simon Flannery from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks very much. Good morning.
Could you go through the $100 million synergy target in a little more granularity? I think you talked about billing systems, you talked about headquarters, a couple of other synergies. So any more color around, you know, what those buckets are, and in particular, you know, what can we expect to see next year, the year after, in terms of realizing those? And then on the CapEx, you talked about a $2 billion plus investment program in Eastern Canada. Should we think that there's any incremental CapEx, or should we keep the sort of mid-teens sort of CapEx ratio that you've been spending over the last few years? Is there anything really over and above that? Thanks.
Yeah, so I'll start with the second. Our guidance this year, 16-17% capital intensity. I don't want to give guidance for next year, but, you know, for a period of years, we've been consistent in that range, and I think our shareholders and investors on the line should expect that type of capital intensity going forward. So there's not an incremental announcement this morning to our capital intensity as a result of putting the organizations together, and that's that we'll clarify more of that as we go into 15. In terms of synergies, you know, I'm not particularly going to call out specifics this morning other than I mentioned, as you've said already, so I don't want to repeat what you've said, but clearly the duplication of the public company costs, those are where we will see some operating savings and some CapEx synergies. Definitely we will see where there would be redundant capital spending. And I gave one example on billing systems. The other would be what we call internally MPI, which would be product development, where both companies would be, have different product portfolios, although close to the same, just separate companies do different things. Those are the type of pieces. We would expect in 2015 to get close to the, you know, the 90s plus, and then we'll break through the 100 as we get into 16.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll be more granular as we get into February for everyone on you know, when we get give our guidance for next year.
Great.
Thank you. Our next question is from Glenn Campbell from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. Just carry on from the last question. I was sort of surprised at the extent of the synergies on the OPEX side. I was wondering on the CAPEX side, Bell Alliance moved, I would say, quite gradually in building fiber to the home in Quebec and Ontario. And when we look at the markets it's targeting, they're sort of islands, in many cases, surrounded by Bell territory. So is this, do you see this deal as sort of removing a, let's say, a bottleneck there or freeing up big CAPEX synergies? And is this the reason you now expect to be able to accelerate your broadband build-out target for Bell as a whole?
Yeah, Glenn, my thought on this, and I drew it out in my comments, and again, when we have our call in early in the new year, we'll be more granular for people. But it's the ability to optimize the complete capital program of the two companies. So, you know, if you take just, not to give a number for next year, but take the current number of, I think, approximately $3.5 billion of capital, trying to do that now efficiently so we don't have exactly what you just said. One island might be, you know, fiber to the node, and right next to it you might have fiber to the home because you have two different companies on slightly different approaches. Optimizing those build programs for both organizations becomes efficient, and it's one of the things I'm really, really excited about on this transaction for us, and I think it does drive that. And then secondly, as I mentioned, you know, it is free cash flow accretive for us over and above the dividend. Of course, that just gives us more financial flexibility because it really takes our free cash flow post-dividend to, as everyone would know now, over $1 billion. And, of course, as Seem said, that's, you know, generally obviously we're going to be doing some deleveraging, but it also gives us maximum flexibility for broadband investments if we want to do something, you know, quicker than we've done in the past.
Okay, thanks. And just to follow up, the $2.1 billion CapEx number for Atlantic Canada, considering that's only about half of Bell Alliance footprint, that's a big number. So you've got wireless in there. So should we conclude that we might see, say, a beefed-up investment in LTE and, say, a more integrated way of using LTE to drive, say, to deliver broadband to the homes where Bell Alliance wasn't going to do fiber?
Yeah, well, there's two things in that. I think it's really important for investors, of course, to recognize it's a wireless and wireline capital commitment. That's one. Secondly, yes, you're right, it is a significant number for the region. Third, though, Glenn, if you look this morning and for everyone, you know, we have 100 communities that today in the Atlantic Territory don't have access to LTE, And so part of our auction process, the 700, there's a natural progression here now where the capital needs to proportionately go there. And so that's why, you know, today with complete confidence we can make this investment, because we still needed to cover those territories with LTE. And in one sense, that was part of our long-term plan, but we've never as a company disclosed a five-year commitment in any region in the country. And clearly we're doing this today to make sure those who work with us for so many years in Eastern Canada understand BCE's commitment hasn't changed at all as a result of today's announcement.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Divai Ghosh from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much, and good morning, Karen. I hope to see you in a senior role in the mothership going forward. George, great cleanup transaction. If I look at the free cash flow per share accretion, given the $350 million of free cash flow on the $2.7 billion of guidance and the 61 million shares issued, it looks like about 4.7% on a per share basis. I'm wondering when you plan to increase your dividend. Will it be on close? Can you give us an idea as to what this does for the dividend policy, given that you're also investing in paying down debt?
Yeah. No, thanks, Devi. Thanks. And Karen, over to you first, maybe.
Well, George, I'll let you do this one.
Okay. You're getting all these compliments, and we're not letting you.
Guys, I really do appreciate it, but I didn't really want to respond on the mothership one, George.
Okay. The dividends. Anyway.
That's a lot, but I was going to wait till the end. Anyway. Thank you.
Yeah, you're super. Anyway, in terms of the, you know, we will, as we've done in the past, talk to our dividend as, you know, on our, as we approach 2015, and the guidance calls that we've typically looked at, Devi. And clearly, you know, we've been on our dividend growth strategy. People know, and the street has a targeted number in mind. And, you know, what I think is important for investors is page 14 that SEEM took us through, does obviously account for the fact that we have expectations for next year to be in position to continue our dividend growth model.
That makes sense. Two more, if I may. The first is on asset mix. Now, as you know, George, 37% of Bell Canada's EBITDA came from wireless in Q1, and that falls to 31% pro forma Bell Alliant. Now, I'm sure there's some on the call who thinks it's great to have less wireless exposure given this massive threat from Videotron, but for those of us who are more bullish about wireless, isn't this an issue?
Well, I don't, you know, I think, first of all, we love our wireless asset, and, of course, we've had industry-leading EBITDA growth in wireless for the last couple of years. So, absolutely, it's core. But, you know, as I've talked about the timing of this, Devi, and we've talked about the strategic reasons to do it, I think, you know, page 6 illustrates the revenue mix impact. I think there is absolutely, you know, a fact that we've stepped back from 82 to 80% of the mix. But for me, just strategically around the first question, which I think we anticipated was on the timing, there may be a perfect time on this. It's hard to find operational, but we thought when we got to 80% of our revenue from growth services, it felt like the right time. Also, if you look at the maturity of Bell Fiber's position in Bell Alliance territory, Karen has a very strong asset there. And if you look at the combined growth on the broadband side, so that was really the conclusion as to why now move forward.
That's great. Last question, maybe this is for Karen. So, Karen, I think one of the reasons why you've done well in terms of relative line loss and broadband penetration, et cetera, is because of the home team advantage you seem to enjoy, in particular in Atlantic Canada, with the Alliant name. Are you going to rebrand, or is there a real move to try and keep your differentiated local presence despite being 100% owned by Bell?
Yeah, thank you, Devi. I think George has been pretty clear on this one, and I find the commitment from BC quite impressive to helping us maintain our local presence. The Bell Alliant brand will stay where it is. The Bell Alliant headquarters will stay where it is. And I think what this really does is it helps us take that local expertise and commitment that we've already always had, and puts behind that the full backing of BCE to make us very, very strong as we move forward, to help us keep being the preferred guy in each of our local markets. So I think BCE gets it, and we'll be able to continue to deliver as well in the future as we have in the past for our customers.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And just to clarify, as Karen said, so it's also from my perspective, as we say in the announcement, the Bell Alliant brand will continue in the Atlantic territories.
Thank you. Our next question is from Greg McDonald from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys. And congrats on the deal also. Wanted to ask a question on marketing potential that comes out of this deal. George, you've said in the past that you've seen an opportunity in Western Canada to focus more on wireless growth, and you've had some success in that. I wonder to what extent the same opportunity to perhaps go after more share in Eastern Canada is evident. This whole issue of bundling, I think, is growing in importance. Family plans, shared plans suggest that that's the case. So I wonder, to what extent is there an opportunity for revenue growth that you might not have had as an opportunity to own both the wireline and the wireless assets?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think, first of all, we have always done some bundling with Karen's team, but obviously the complexity of where the revenues lie and the costs lie go away here. So our ability to execute quicker in a highly, highly competitive market is one of the real benefits. And, you know, the fourth reason I talk to in terms of why now is in essence what you've just raised, which is what I structurally believe and fundamentally believe the wireless and wireline businesses, you know, coming together is going to be a competitive positioning that we want in the marketplace. Particularly when you look at the requirement for broadband speeds, even fiber to all of our cell sites and all of the territories across Canada that we operate, putting those two organizations together help us execute more operationally. So not only just bundling, but also execution on the network side. And so it's one of the other, it is one of the four core reasons as to why now we're moving forward.
Makes sense. And then as a quick follow-on, George, mindset on the ROI from fiber to the home. Karen and her team have done a fantastic job on this. Costs have changed a little, i.e. come down a little over time, but I would argue that they've had higher than average success relative to other telcos out there that have done it. Is this also partly an influence of kind of the success they've had there, and does that suggest that fiber to the home might take a greater role in your future opportunity outside of their territory?
Yeah. In fact, you know, in my opening comment, I mentioned one of the reasons Bell Alliance premium is warranted is their unique fiber asset position relative to many other ILECs in North America, and also obviously Karen's and Glenn's excellent leadership from a margin perspective on that business. From our perspective, there is no new neighborhoods in any of Bell footprint that's not being built out as fiber today. Also, of course, the condominium boom that we're seeing in some markets in our footprint, that's all fiber to the building. And one of the great parts of, and Karen knows more about this than I do, well, one of the great parts of their footprint was the aerial plant that Karen very, very cleverly has leveraged. And we have, as people know, particularly in Quebec, a very high percentage of aerial plant now, and that's why in those markets we frankly haven't done anything but fiber over the last year or so. But as I said, I think this will cause us to continue to accelerate the results that we've had with fiber, and the publicly reported Bell Alliance results on fiber are a pretty clear direction to where our capital ought to be going for both business and consumer, not just consumer, but also the business market.
But to be clear, we're not talking wholesale changes in mentality here, right? Like the aerial versus buried is still the major ROI consideration.
Yeah, it is still the major ROI consideration. As much as we can do aerial, we'll continue. And I think the real way for investors to think about it is broadband for us is LTE and fiber to premises, all within a capital intensity of 16 to 17% as we've been at.
Makes sense. Thanks, George.
Good. Mark, in the interest of time, given other obligations this morning related to the transaction announcement, this will be our last question.
Thank you. And our last question is from Richard Chill from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Just to clarify on the 4G LTE investment, this is an investment you were already going to do. Is this being accelerated or changed because of this transaction, and what gives you confidence in it? And then just to kind of not talk about the future too much, but does this give both companies the ability to be more aggressive in the area once the transactions close, and part of that might be reallocating resources or being able to invest more efficiently?
Yeah, I think so. It's the 700 auction, in fairness, was probably the catalyst for our ability to go into footprint that may be more rural than some of the urban. And clearly, in Atlantic Canada, and by the way, Northern Ontario, Northern Quebec, et cetera, we've been waiting for the 700 auction to complete. So today's announcement of the $2.1 billion capital program over 5 years, part of our plan of record would have been to do the LTE communities that we're talking to. What is different about today's call is we have never, certainly in my time as CEO, given a five-year commitment to a region in the country before in terms of capital. And we thought that was important to do for some, I hope everybody understands, clearly our history in that territory. We want no one to think at all because we're bringing these two operations together that somehow our competitive local presence is going to back down at all. And that's really important in that area. But in terms of LTE, it was time to go there. We need these services there. We have obviously a leading network with HSPA Plus, but we need the LTE services, and that's going to happen in the next 24 months. And the press release that we put out this morning on the 700, don't know if it's out yet, but it lists all 100 communities that will receive this service, which means, you know, we're talking about areas in Canada that will be leading the world in wireless technology as Canada continues to lead in network technology on a global basis with wireless. Thanks for the question.
Great, thank you.
Final comment is just thank you, everyone, and I, like all of you, want to thank Karen and her team. I think they have done an absolutely first-class job with a very, very interesting, and we know a number of years ago, challenging asset mix, and the fiber results of Bell Alliant are second to none on a North American basis, as we all know.
Thank you, George, and I want to thank everybody on the call. You guys have been terrific at times. Difficult, but your challenging has made us better. I remember the early discussions having to convince you that fiber to the home made any sense at all, and look at where we are today. So thank you all. I really appreciate it.
So thank you for your participation. Zita Redden, my IR counterpart at Bell Alliant, and myself will be available the rest of the day for follow-ups and clarifications. Thanks a lot for your participation. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good summer.